instead of doing each character individually, because we'd be here all day, not that we haven't already been here for an hour, but...
Sequence start 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition.
I would like to introduce
Generally Nerdy.
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 Generally Nerdy.
Hello again, nerds. Welcome back to the news. We have quite the episode today. Star Wars Celebration happened, so that's going to be kind of all over the episode in pretty much all of the areas, almost. We also have Henry Cavill, Superman, back in the rumor mill, this time with a little bit more legitimacy. I think all of that, and then honestly a bunch more. We have trailers to get out of the way. We have TV shows and rumors to debunk even. So yeah, there's a lot going on. Let's do the thing. First up though, we got to touch on some housekeeping. So not much has moved with the TikTok situation. So here is where things stand there. I will probably continue to post a little bit there. So if you already are following a Generally Nerdy on your TikTok, well, it would seem that that follow has been deleted because I just can't get TikTok to respond to me. So all of the short form content is going to be focused probably honestly on Twitter and on the second YouTube channel, the Nerd News Clips channel. There will be some other things going up on the Instagram. It's just, I'm a one-man show. I do all of this myself, which means if I can't schedule a post to happen, then odds are I'm probably not going to make that post because I also have a day job and I can't be posting things while I'm doing the day job that actually pays the bills. This is just a passion project that doesn't pay the bills. So I schedule all of my short form content, and if I can't schedule it, then I'm not going to do it. And that pretty much excludes almost everything but some versions or some things on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. So yeah, that is where that exists. So I'm going to probably be pushing the secondary YouTube channel, Nerd News Clips, as well as Instagram, Generally Nerdy. I'm probably going to have to, I don't know, that's going to go under some really hardcore research to just kind of test a couple of things. So keep your eye up there. And then the Twitter, also in some research, and really just waiting for the Elon Musk dust to settle, if you will. So yeah, those are where we're going to be focusing, though I will probably still be active, at least somewhat in passing, on the rest of the socials. It's just they're a little bit more difficult for one person to keep up with. All of that being said, let's get into the actual news. Starting with the music section, we have no follow-ups or corrections. We do have a little bit of new music. So our first one is super noteworthy as it involves multiple areas of the nerddom, and that is Leo Maracchioli, the man who does all of the metal covers on the YouTubes, and very, very talented musician, I might add, has done a cover of Nirvana's Something in the Way, which obviously is the almost theme song for the Batman. So his version, much different than the original, as you would assume, though probably not in the ways you're expecting. Leo is definitely a guy that we've talked about on the channel before. We've actually done some reaction videos to some of his stuff. Definitely worth a, if you don't already subscribe to his channel and you enjoy aggressive, or even just covers, like just different versions of songs, you really, really should go subscribe to Leo. That being said, again, his new song, Something in the Way, cover of Nirvana, great. Go listen to it. Moving on, our next one is Haunted Horses, a band that I had not heard of previously, but was intrigued. Cold Medicine is the name of the new single, link as always in the description. And then the album that's coming out July 29th is Worst Has Finally Happened. This was billed as kind of an industrial, gothy kind of sound for this band. And while, again, not super familiar with their previous work, I can kind of see it, and maybe if you juxtapose it against the music of theirs that I'm not familiar with, it would have a little bit more relevance, those words, but as it stands right here, not having heard other things, is good, it's listenable. I don't know if I could suggest it to really anyone who's new to aggressive music at all, but I mean, if you like kind of industrial tinged hard rock, even I wouldn't even go so far as to call this metal, but this is definitely something to check out. And then next on the new music list is a band that honestly I've kind of been aware of for a little while now called Oni. Their new single is called Heart to Stone. Loathing and Light is the name of the record. It's set for release June 17th from Iron Shore Records. And this one honestly was a little bit of a letdown. Listening to their previous stuff, and their last single features Randy Blythe and Iggy Pop, and it's totally rocking. Like, it's really, really good, really well produced, just a very all-around good track. This one, though, a little, still very well produced, just performance-wise, leaves you wanting in not a good way. So if you want to check this band out, I would suggest you check out their previous single, I can't think of the name of it, featuring Randy Blythe and Iggy Pop, but this one, maybe not so much. And then the last on the new music list is the new Rammstein single, Dika Titan, I think? Titan? Something? So they kind of are, they have a bit of a formula, Rammstein does, and this song kind of breaks out of that formula in a lot of really fun ways. The video is ridiculous, but it's Rammstein, so that is to be expected, and absolutely a rockin' Rammstein tune. This is how you do industrially tinged hard rock, and these guys are legit metal, but like still, this is industrial the way you think of industrial when somebody says that word in reference to music. So go check that one out as well. Which then brings us to the tours section. And no real tours were announced over the last week, but there was a big a festival date announced, and that is the Slipknot Pulse of the Maggots Festival, this time in the UK. I believe this is the first time in the UK. It will be August 10th at the Mill in Birmingham. And the bands are so far as follows: Psilosis, Orbit Culture, Hario, Spirit World, Rough Justice, Throne into Exile, Cauldron, All Hell the Yeti. Only know Psilosis on that list, but still definitely going to be interesting if Slipknot is handpicking these bands. Not sure if Slipknot is actually going to be playing this or if they're just going to be producing the show. Either way, it's going to be an interesting experience. And if you are in the Birmingham area, then it's probably going to be worth your pounds, as it were, since it's English. So that is all we have for the tour section. Let's get into the proper news section. And first up in proper news, we're starting because we have a couple of passings this episode. We're starting with a passing. This one comes from the Depeche Mode camp, and it is their founding member and keyboard player, Andy Fletcher. Fletch died at the age of 60. No cause of death was listed as of yet, but this is a bit of a giant loss in the music community. Depeche Mode they were one of my first kind of off the beaten path kind of bands. I know they're super huge and considered mainstream by a lot of people in the music kind of mindset. But as far as like normies go, these guys are a little out there. They have some top 40 radio singles, but they also have some really obscure stuff. So they kind of straddle that line very nicely. And this was the first band of mine that I really got into that kind of straddled that line. So yeah, this is huge, man. A good moment of silence for the loss of a musical titan in Fletch. So, picking things up from there, I hope, we have something that's a little different for the music section, and this is about manufacturing of musical gear and less about actual music, but it's still pretty relevant in this section, and that is Gibson has just won a lawsuit in a technical kind of way against Dean. So Gibson Brands against Dean Guitars. The Dean parent company is actually who lost the suit, but it was specifically against their Dean sub company because that's who makes the guitars. So this was really interesting. The decision happened on May 27th, and it is technically in favor of Gibson. It happened in the state of Texas. It is a federal jury has found in favor of Gibson to the tune of $4,000. Now, there was one source that says that everyone's interpreting this wrong, and it's $4,000 per infringement, which would be ridiculous, because that would be per guitar made, and a lot of guitars have been made since the 80s. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not the way this shook out, because every other outlet is calling it $4,000 total in favor of Gibson over Dean Guitars, because it was, there's a quote here, the distance in time was inexcusable for when they realized that there was an infringement to the time that they filed the lawsuit. Because again, when they took notice of the infringement against them from Dean was sometime, I think actually even before the 80s, and they're only suing them now. Actually, the lawsuit started in 2019 and only finished now, but still, that's 30 years of time between when the infringement, quote unquote, started to now. So that's why they were only issued a $4,000 reward, or only won $4,000 in the case. The unclear bits here are what exactly this means, because yes, Dean does have to pay $4,000 in damages to Gibson, but can they continue to make these guitars? So effectively what it boils down to is Gibson makes certain guitar body styles. There were, I believe, three specifics in question. Two of them were body styles. One of them was a headstock style. Body style of the Flying V and then the Z guitar and then their the forked headstock, I believe, was the headstock that was in question. So Dean's argument was that these body styles are so common as to be uncopyrightable. And Gibson's argument was, no, we created these and you started copying us, but that doesn't mean that because you copy us, it makes it too common for us to copyright. Also of note is that Dean is not the only guitar manufacturer that has been mimicking these body styles for some time. It's just Dean is probably the largest, and that's why they were the focus of Gibson's ire. So, again, the murky part is now that Gibson has won, does that mean Dean has to stop making Flying V's and Z's and using the headstock that they lost for? Or is this just a one-time deal and they can continue on the path that they've been going, even though it's been acknowledged that Gibson owns the copyright for these looks? I don't know if I can get those details. If I can, we'll talk about it again in a future episode. But that is where the news ends and music suggestions begin. So let's get into the music suggestions for this episode. I'm just going to continue on the Leo Maracchioli train because, man, dude puts out a cover a week. He takes time off, sure, but by and large, he writes, records, and films a video for a heavy metal cover of some sort of pop song a week. Sometimes better than others, but still totally worth your time. Dude is a great musician, a great producer, a great videographer, and a total goober, like in all of the best ways. It's so fun to watch those videos. He obviously enjoys what he does, so you should enjoy it as well. Leo Maracchioli on the YouTubes is our suggestion for music this week. Now we're into gaming and tech. So gaming and tech, our first follow-up has to do with Knights of the Old Republic 2. I believe this is a confirmation of a rumor rumor, though I'm pretty sure it's already been confirmed. We just now got the release date for it. So release date for Knights of the Old Republic 2 on the Switch is June 8th of this year. So we're looking at about a week away for the port to happen over. This is not the remake that is happening on the PS5. This is the port of the Xbox game coming to Switch. So that's pretty noteworthy. And then our next follow-up is legitimately the confirmation of a rumor, and that is Xbox Keystone. This is the cloud gaming service, not xCloud. That's a whole different thing. This is actually a streaming device, much like the Amazon device, which I can't remember what it is now, or Stadia from Google. Something along those lines, only this time it's from Microsoft. Still codenamed Keystone. It actually is a thing, and as it's... The rumors were saying that we could be seeing this by Christmas of this year, if I remember correctly. It might have been Christmas of 23, but I'm pretty sure they were saying Christmas of this year. But now that Microsoft has come out and confirmed that this is actually a thing, they're saying that they're not really comfortable with the status of cloud streaming gaming kind of services. Again, Stadia and the Amazon thing. So with that in mind, they're going to be kind of taking it slow, and potentially it's going to take another year or two before we see the Xbox Keystone, or whatever they end up naming it, as soon as it launches. So, yeah, it is a thing, but it's not going to be out anytime soon. So there you go. That is what we have for follow-ups and corrections. Let's get into trailers. We only have one trailer in gaming to speak of, and that is Jedi Survivor, which is the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order, which was announced at Star Wars Celebration. So this looks like a continuation of more of the same. Cal Kestis, what is the dude's name? Kestis, there we go. Cal Kestis will be coming back. Cameron Monaghan is playing the role again, and this just looks like more awesome Star Wars coming our way. No reason not to think this is not going to be awesome. Story-wise, maybe a little bit shaky, but gameplay-wise, should be solid. But yeah, that's what we have for trailers. Then we are into... Oh, we have no actual news for gaming and tech to speak of, so let's get into gaming and tech suggestions. Our suggestion for this week is Knights of the Republic 2, man. Power that bad boy up. Play it. Get down with the KOTOR, because it's a great game. If you have to wait for the Switch one to launch, or if you have an old school copy, or I believe it's on the back compat list for the Xbox, so you could play it on your Xbox One or Xbox Series console. Either way, find a way to get that thing going, even if you have to emulate that bad boy, because it, again, some of the best RPG gaming you're going to be playing that is not a Souls or Souls-like RPG. Comic books. And books. We actually have no books, but we do have a trailer for a new comic, and that is Batman Failsafe. Chip Zdarsky, Jorge Jimenez, the book starts with Batman number 125. It will be on shelves July 5th, and looks pretty interesting. Not exactly... I don't know. Just recently, Batman books have not really piqued my interest as much as they used to, even though my favorite comic book character, on DC side at least. So, yeah, very hopeful that this goes in a better direction for the fandom and not for the people who don't actually read books but like to complain about them. Here's to hoping. But that is our trailer that we have this week. We also have some new books or new story arcs and things to talk about. So first up, new book announced at Star Wars Celebration is Star Wars Yoda. This is going to be a 10-issue maxi series, it sounds like. It's going to be taking place during Yoda's time as an exile on Dagobah. It is going to be three mini arcs inside of this 10-issue story, 10-issue run. The creative teams, I either didn't find it or was just a dumbass and didn't put it in the notes. Either way, it's not here. If I can find it, we'll talk about it again in follow-ups. But yeah, new Star Wars Yoda book. That sounds pretty freaking cool. Hopefully, again, kind of very trepidatious when it comes to new comic books from the big two specifically, especially if it's Marvel or Star Wars Disney related. So yeah, that's what we got there. And then we have Superbat. So Batman and Superman, World's Finest number 4, is going to be the beginning of a new arc. And this new arc has some weird Dragon Ball elements here. Batman and Superman are going to merge into one character. I don't know if they're giving this character a name. That was not made clear. But yeah, they're going to become one character together. So Batman's brains and Superman's, you know, Kryptonian-ness. And then this series, or this runs... synopsis is as follows. We have, as Robin and Supergirl race to retrieve the secrets of the devil Nissa from ancient China, Batman and Superman get more than they bargained for in the present. To save humanity from the fires of the demon, the world's finest must go toe-to-toe with the protector of Sector 2814, Hal Jordan. Yeah, so in the artwork, which you should be seeing on your screen right about now, there it seems that there's a little bit more to this than they're releasing, because if you notice, not only is this an obvious Batman-Superman merging, but it's also potentially Lantern, because of the green electricity and aura around the bottom, as well as it looks like there might be a Lasso of Truth on that utility belt. So is there more than two superheroes merged here, or am I just seeing things? Very intrigued. We'll be keeping tabs on this. Hopefully it will be a decent book to read. But that is what we have for the comic books and books news. So let's get into suggestions. Comic books and books suggestions. We have, this is a little bit of an oldie, going back to 1992, X-Men number 4 through X-Men number 7. This is the first appearance, the first story arc featuring Omega Red. Omega Red is by far my favorite Wolverine villain, and this is the story arc that started all of that. So go check this one out if you can get your hands on it, because it's absolutely worth a read. And then there's like a whole list of great Omega Reds to follow that, and maybe we'll do those as suggestions going down the road. Anyway, that's what we got this week for comic book suggestions. So let's get into TV streaming, shall we? We do have a couple of follow-ups. No corrections to speak of, but we do have follow-ups. Mandalorian, again, Star Wars Celebration happened, so a lot of this stuff is going to be from there. Mandalorian Season 3, February 2023 is when it's going to happen. A trailer does exist, but has yet to be officially released. And when I went looking, I couldn't find anything that wasn't going to get copyright stricken very, very soon, to link in the description. So when the official release happens, we will talk about it then. But as it stands right now, the big announcement is February is when we will be seeing the next season, and not December, like we were expecting. Next is Ahsoka. We have a quasi-premiere date set for that one, again, from Star Wars Celebration. We have sometime in 2023. This one probably will be the following to Mando. So probably we're looking at like March, April, somewhere in that neighborhood. But again, that hasn't been made definite yet, so we will keep tabs there. And then one that's not Star Wars related, True Detective, the HBO series, is getting a fourth season. This one is going to be called Night Country. It is going to star Jodie Foster, which definitely has my interest piqued, because Jodie Foster is brilliant, but also is going to be sometime late 2023. So late fall, probably early winter, more likely. But again, no specific date has been made known just yet. That is what we have for follow-ups. Let's move into trailers. We have some trailers. Oh boy, we have some trailers. We have Andor kicking the trailers off, and August 31st is the premiere. It is official. And this is, I mean, this definitely has me intrigued a little bit. It's still kind of an exercise in futility because we know how it ends, but I like to see the story. Even if I know the ending, I want to see how we get there. So yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by this one. Next on the list is Willow. We have an official release date of November 30th for Willow. Super stoked about this. Warwick Davis is the guy. I totally dig Warwick, and totally think it's awesome that he's coming back for the title character. And this trailer is sufficiently epic. I feel like this is going to be more cathartic than the Lord of the Rings series over on Amazon by a long shot. So yeah, super excited about this. Then we're going to get into the one garbage trailer we got this week for TV streaming. This is not Disney related in any way. This is actually CW related, and it's Gotham Knights. And what the hell did I just watch? I'm gonna save you some time. This show is going to be hot garbage. Nobody's going to watch it. Nobody wants to watch it. Nobody asked for it. And none of this makes any freaking sense. So Bruce Wayne's son is not named Tanner. Okay, why CW insists on killing off Bruce Wayne in every series where they can reference him is beyond me. And also, why is he wearing like a latex mask and looks like he's going to like some sort of weird Eyes Wide Shut party? Like that's kind of, yeah, no. Nobody's gonna watch this. I would strongly suggest you stay away, but yeah, there you are. Gotham Knights trailer. It is a thing that's out there now. And then our final trailer is actually pretty badass, and that is The Bad Batch Season 2. We have the release date, kind of. Again, we have a season for the release, and that is this fall. And this trailer is absolutely worth a watch. If you liked Season 1, check out Season 2, because we get into all of the, it looks like we're going to be getting into all of the awesome things that they kind of set up in Season 1, and now we're just going to knock them out of the park. So, Bad Batch Season 2 trailer, definitely worth a watch. Continuing on down the Disney Plus announcements from Star Wars Celebration, we have Star Wars Skeleton Crew, a new live action, it would seem, series. Though, I don't know, we don't know this for certain, but we've seen some concept art and we've seen a live action picture of Jude Law, who is going to be one of the stars of said series, though we don't know exactly how, because apparently the story is going to be revolving around four kids who get lost in the Star Wars universe. And so Jude Law is not exactly a kid. So how does he star in this? We'll find out, I'm sure, soon. But either way, new series that was previously yet to be mentioned. And not only did they just announce it, but it's coming out next year. They did not say exactly when next year, but it is going to be coming out in 2023. So we'll be seeing a lot more about this in the relative future. Moving right along, we have some really interesting stuff coming out of Sony. So this is technically three different announcements for a series on three potentially different streaming platforms, but they're all Sony. They're all specifically gaming properties. So with their annual investors briefing happening just in the last few days, we have word that Horizon, the Horizon IP, is going to be getting a live action series. That will be going to Netflix. We have God of War getting its very own live action series, which is confirming some rumors that we've covered here on the show. That is going to Amazon Prime Video. And then we have Gran Turismo, apparently, is getting a live action series, but the streaming platform for that has yet to be announced, so it would seem they're still working on contracts for that one. At least the two that we know which streaming services they're going to definitely have me intrigued, because those are both fantastic franchises, and why wouldn't they get made into live action something awesome? But Gran Turismo is weird. Is it just going to be like, are you going to do a whole series about race cars? Because I don't know. I guess that would be the first time it's been made into a streaming series, right? Because we just get like Fast and Furious, and I don't even know what other race car movies there are. But still, I'm not sure that there are any live action race car series at all. So breaking new ground, maybe? I don't know. Somebody correct me in the comments. But yeah. That's what we got coming from Sony. Speaking of race cars, here we are. Here's one that kind of, it was a cartoon before and then a single movie as well, but Speed Racer is getting a live action adaptation. It's going to Apple TV Plus. It is presumed to be a series and not a movie, but who freaking knows? It is going to be produced by Bad Robot, which is, of course, J.J. Abrams' production company. No word as to the specifics if Abrams is himself going to be involved directly. But there is speculation. We're going to get into that into a little bit more detail in the rumor mill, but there is some stuff going on with that Discovery WB merger, especially specifically focused on J.J. Abrams, that lends one to think maybe he's looking for other places to go other than Warner Brothers, because, yeah, there's some nonsense. But we're going to get into that. All right, so Speed Racer, no release date, no anything. We do know that it is going to Apple TV Plus, though. And that is all of our regular news for the TV streaming section. So, TV streaming suggestions. We, of course, Stranger Things. If you haven't watched Season 4, Part 1, good Lord, what is taking you so long? Go watch it. But once you have finished that, Shining Vale over on Stars is absolutely worth your time. It is a horror comedy series, which, again, not something that gets broached very often in serialized platform, but, like, totally funny and worth a watch. And you have Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear doing wonderful things as a troubled married couple, and just, yeah, totally worth a watch. I'm about 4 episodes into the season. I think there's 8 episodes released so far. Great stuff on Stars. Go watch it. And now the movies section. Yeah, we got movies. This is actually quite short comparatively. So let's just go through this. We have one follow-up, Clerks 3. Kevin Smith has taken to Twitter to assure us that we will be seeing a Clerks 3 trailer sometime actually very soon. He has been shown the first cut of the first trailer from the folks over at Lionsgate, and now he is going to be reportedly, according to him, taking it with him to San Diego Comic-Con in order to premiere it there in his Hall H panel that he does every year at Comic-Con. So if you are interested, then go and see it, and then when it hits the internet, we'll talk about it. That is our only follow-up, but we do have a trailer to talk about real quick. Pinocchio, the Disney live-action version of this story, has its first trailer, this one with Tom Hanks. This is not the Guillermo del Toro version, which is going to be very different and also much more animated. This looks like it's going to be much more in line with the animated Disney version, but the noteworthy thing here is we are going to have 2 very high-profile versions of this movie. So let's get into that real quick, because this factors into one of our other movie news pieces as well. So one of the things going on right now with Disney, with all of the crazy that we're not going to touch, some of the fallout of that crazy, as I'm sure some of you at least know who are watching this, is that Disney is going to be losing some of their rights as it pertains to copyright law, as well as, you know, how they conduct business inside of the parks in certain areas. So specifically what we're looking at is copyright law. So back in the early to mid 70s, some copyright laws were written so that that extended the life of how long you held a copyright once you created a thing. And before it becomes a public license and anyone can do something with it and tell their own version of your story. That was extended in the late 80s. Sonny Bono had something to do with it when he was a senator. I think that was actually potentially in the 90s. And then also, I don't remember who the other politician was. Sonny Bono's, though, idea was that it, because the previous law said that nothing could be copywritten forever. So Sonny Bono's interpretation of that, well, we should extend it to forever minus one day, because that's not equally as vague as the word forever, because stupid. So the more logical conclusion of that is 95 years. So copyright law was specifically Disney and Sonny Bono were the two larger entities of this. Disney was lobbying for these things to happen, and Sonny Bono was totally on their side. And the end result that we got when people, you know, of level minds stepped in was 95 years. You own the copyright to your thing for 95 years, and then it becomes public domain. So we have a lot of Disney properties that actually Disney only got because they were public domain when they got their grubby mitts on them. And then they had the laws changed so that nobody else could do what they did. Classic case of lifting up the ladder behind you as you're getting to somewhere that you don't want others to follow. So Or closing the door behind you, I guess, is probably the phrase that is more common in the vernacular these days. Either way, so Disney closed the door behind them when it came to capitalizing on other people's work, because that is basically all of the Disney movies that you know and love are like Hans Christian Andersen or the Grimm brothers or someone else, some other European white dude that they stole the stories from and then made their own version and then copywrote that so nobody else could do another version until 95 years have passed. And so Pinocchio was up, I believe, last year, which is why Guillermo del Toro was able to make his version that is also coming out very, or that actually just came out, I believe. So yeah, now we have the Disney remaking their animated one, and I don't know if anybody's really gonna care aside from the fact that Tom Hanks is in it and Tom Hanks is a national treasure. So it's going to be interesting to see which one fares better and, you know, critically and with the audience and so on and so forth. So that, though, brings us to another one that we're going to get to in just a moment. First, though, we have to talk about some sad news in the proper news portion of this. We're kicking because I don't like to end the sections anymore with passings. We have to start the section with a passing, and that is Ray Liotta. Ray Liotta, famously in a million different gangster movies, and just a really great actor, passed the other day at the age of 67. The only thing that was released pertaining to his death was that it was comfortable and in his sleep. No actual cause of death has been released just yet, but man, some huge movies this guy was in. Honestly, some fantastic, fantastic work. Goodfellas, my brain is blanking right now just thinking about anything besides Goodfellas, honestly. But either way, great stuff. Ray Liotta was a fantastic actor and definitely will be missed. So a moment of silence once more for the passing of Ray Liotta. Okay, so we got the sad piece out of the way, and that brings us back around to public domain and Disney losing the copyright to some of their stuff. So first was Pinocchio, and now we have Winnie the Pooh is getting a non-Disney makeover, and this one is really interesting. The name of this movie is Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. This is a horror movie that follows Winnie the Pooh and Piglet, which I'm going to try and get my hands on some of the stills that they've released from production because, yeah, that's what this is. That's definitely Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. Really? Piglet? That's what Piglet looks like now? They both look like dudes in masks, but I digress. So the writer-director is a guy named Rice Frake Waterfield. And now that Winnie the Pooh is public domain, he's made his own Winnie the Pooh story. It's going to be, again, a horror movie. And the synopsis that we have, I believe it was from IMDb, is as follows. Movie follows Pooh and Piglet as they go on a rampage after being abandoned by Christopher Robin. Wow. So this is kind of exactly what Disney is trying to avoid, is somebody, in their eyes at least, cheapening, quote-unquote, the idea or the interpretation of something that they've done so much work, and so I don't even know the kind of vocabulary they use around this, but it's hilarious. And who's going to mistake Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey for the original Winnie the Pooh cartoon from the 50s, like, or 60s, or whenever it happened? Nobody. Nobody's going to make gonna confuse that. That's not gonna happen. Oh, okay. So yeah, that's a thing, and it looks crazy and bizarre, but we're probably going to talk about it because that's hilarious. Anyway, moving right along, that brings us into movie suggestions for this episode. Our movie suggestion is a little-known movie by a man named Rian Johnson, not Star Wars, because, oof, that's a whole conversation in and of itself, but the reason why I, at least, gave him the benefit of the doubt, and that is the movie Brick. Brick is noir at its finest, honestly. It's a little interesting setting in a high school, but still very well written and super well executed. This is easily one of my top 10 movies of all freaking time on pretty much every level, production, acting, everything. Just go watch Brick. It is absolutely worth your time. Okay, so that was TV streaming. Up next, we're into movies, but right now we're talking about the live stream every Friday night. Well, now that we're back into it, we're getting back into the Friday night live streams, and those Friday night live streams happen about 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time in the States. 7:30, actually, is when they usually kind of start. It has been a couple of weeks since we've done this, so I'm fully anticipating some sort of technical issues, so do not be surprised if it happens a little bit later than 7:30, you know, 7:40, 7:45, somewhere in that neighborhood. But either way, it is going to happen. We are going to be talking about the news live Friday night, so join me for that. And then we jump into some gaming for the second half of the show on the live portion. There is also merch on the website, generallynerdy.net, and you can find me on the socials and do all the things. Don't forget to subscribe, like the video, the episode, whatever platform you're on, make sure the algorithm knows you appreciate it. Thank you very much, nerds. Now back to the news. And now we're rounding things out with the rumor mill. So we do have confirmations, rather refutations twice. Let's start with the Fantastic Four refutation first. Bryce Dallas Howard has shot down rumors that she is going to be the one playing Sue Storm in the Fantastic Four reboot movie from Disney. Still presumed that we are going to be seeing John Krasinski in said movie, but not confirmed, though we now know it won't be Bryce Dallas Howard opposite him. Our next refutation is a gaming rumor that we have to shoot down. Bloodborne Remastered. We've talked about this one a number of times. There was, over the last couple of days, a quote-unquote confirmation of this from somebody who is actively supposedly on the project. Well, it was a fake Twitter account that confirmed this, and honestly, the real Twitter account has come out and went, wait, that's me! No, that's not real. This isn't happening because it's not the real Twitter account. It's a big troll job. It's not happening, at least not right now. It is presumed that something is in the works over at Sony. We just don't know what as far as Bloodborne is concerned. So let's get into our new sources for the week. We have a couple of new sources. First up, we're talking about the Warner Brothers live action Superman. News source is saying that Henry Cavill is still very potentially, not for certain, but very potentially going to be returning to the cape and cowl, because like I alluded to earlier in the episode, there is a lot going on with this Discovery Warner Brothers shakeup, and they are now looking at everything with a fine-tooth comb, very specifically everything that is a high-dollar project. And the new president of the company didn't write his name down because, again, I take amazing notes. The new president of the company, though, is taking a look at what is exactly going on with J.J. Abrams and going, a lot of this doesn't sit well with me, because Abrams has effectively said, no, I'm using this group of characters and nobody else can. And then just kind of sat on them and did nothing with them. And that doesn't sit well with a company that's trying to make money off of this group of characters. So everything's getting brushed over with a fine-tooth comb. And specifically, the president, again, don't know his name because brain farts happen when I don't take good notes. He's very specifically saying, according to the rumor, that he wants to see Henry Cavill back in the cape and cowl because that's what the fandom claims they want to begin with. It's not going to be Supergirl, it's going to be Superman, and it is going to be Henry Cavill. So, likelihood that this is the situation. Well, I have heard this from multiple sources at this point, but I still don't know how much of it I believe. So, do I honestly think that they're taking a look at everything going on with J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot? Yeah, I think that is for sure happening, because I think that's ridiculous that Abrams has effectively squared off these certain guys, Green Lantern and Batman and Superman, I think specifically, the main universe. Obviously, Matt Reeves did his thing, but with Abrams pulling that stunt and then not actually doing anything with them, aside from, oh, there might be a Green Lantern series happening sometime soon, just we haven't put any work into yet. Yeah, that seems really sketchy. So any president of a company who's looking to make money off of these very high-profile IPs would very likely make sense that they want to reevaluate that contract. Sure, I believe that. So we're going to give that portion of this probably right about 70%, because it would be very surprised if that wasn't happening. As far as Henry Cavill coming back to be Superman, I think that one's a little less likely. I think it should happen. I think we are owed a better Superman movie than what we have so far, and I think Henry Cavill is a good enough actor to do it. Honestly, that is resting very heavily on Geralt's shoulders, but still, I think it should happen. Whether or not it's going to happen, or if by the time this feud or whatever gets settled, if he'll be aged out of the role, which honestly could happen if this takes another 3 to 5 years, I'm going to put that one a little bit lower. We're going to go about 50% likely that Cavill will return to the cape and cowl cowl is the Batman, to the cape and blue tights. So yeah, I don't think that that is as likely, even though I think that is probably the more promising one to go with. So that's what we've got there. Let's move over to Multiverses is our next new source for Rumor Mill. Multiverses, again, the new brawler from Warner Brothers Games that is, you know, kind of trying to compete with Smash Brothers. We have a new leaked roster that includes the likes of, this is only a brief collection. There's the new leaked roster, quote unquote, is much longer than this, but these are the noteworthy names on this roster that are kind of questionable legitimacy. We have Samurai Jack, Powerpuff Girls, the three of them selectable as one character, not each one individually. We also have the Animaniacs, so Yakko, Wakko, and Dot, also selectable as one character, not each one individually. Scorpion from Mortal Kombat, and Ted Lasso, again, amongst others listed in the quote-unquote leak on the Reddits. So all of that is very believable. Specifically, I totally believe Samurai Jack. I think the Powerpuff Girls makes sense that they would all be one character. Likewise with the Animaniacs. Scorpion is kind of a shoe-in at this point. I think on this list was also the Joker, which I thought had already been confirmed for DLC, but who knows. But the one that kills it is Ted Lasso. I'm pretty sure Warner Brothers doesn't own the rights to that character. They might have a contract or something, but isn't that character on Apple TV Plus? I don't know. I haven't watched the series, even though apparently it's amazing. That is the one thing that kind of kills this. So instead of doing each character individually, because we'd be here all day, not that we haven't already been here for an hour, but instead of doing that, we're just going to do a general, and the Ted Lasso one kills it. Is this the list? Is this 100% accurate, this list that we have? And you can go find it on Reddit if you look real hard. Leaks and Rumors, I think, is the subreddit for it. Is this the 100% accurate list? Absolutely not. No. Ted Lasso is not going to be a character in Multiverses. The rest of these characters, probably, yeah. I would not be surprised to see any of them in there. But Ted Lasso is the thing that really kills this. So we're going to put this one at about 25% likelihood that this is the roster for Multiverses. And now we are into rumors. New rumors, not new sources, but new ones we haven't spoken of previously. So our first one is tech-related, technically, even though it's more sports-related, so I'm sure most people don't care. But NFL is apparently, the NFL, I guess I should say. See, this is how much I watch the sports. The NFL is apparently going to be launching their own streaming platform, so you can just watch all of the games on their streaming platform, and it is supposedly launching in July. Is the NFL likely working on a streaming platform? Sure, yeah, why wouldn't they? Is it going to be launching in July? That seems a little early. I would honestly be very surprised to see it before August, considering that's when like preseason starts, I believe. I don't know. Maybe July is when they do like the I don't know the term. When they get the new players from the things and the stuff. Yeah, maybe that is July and I just haven't paid attention. But either way, yeah, I think this is going to happen eventually. Why not now? We're going to put this one, just because I have no reason to not believe it, we're going to put this one right about 75%, because, yeah, if this doesn't happen in the next year or two, then I feel like the NFL is sleeping on the job. And then our next one has to do with Sega releasing a new system. That's right, you heard me. Sega's getting back into the system business. Now, they do have some new systems that have actually come out very recently, Sega do, and they're the mini systems. We have the mini Sega Genesis, we have the Micro Game Gear, and so the next one is going to be in that same vein. Supposedly, we're going to be getting, according to the rumor, we're going to be getting a mini Dreamcast next. It's just a matter of them making the official announcement, which is supposed to be happening next week, I believe, so we will be following up on this. But also, there is a couple other potential systems that they could be doing. Saturn is on the list for this rumor, but that one's super less likely. They also have one that's apparently happened before the Master System. I don't remember the name of it, like the C1000 or something like that, which is less likely because previously they said the next time they do this is going to be a more global appeal, and that one was pretty much only released in Japan and Australia. So, is Sega going to be doing another mini system? Yes, they have already said that they're working on another one. Is that next mini system going to be the Dreamcast? That seems the most likely. That was the largest and most well-received console they had, aside from the Genesis, probably ever. So, the percentage likelihood that we will be seeing a mini Dreamcast in the next little while, probably in December or so, I'm going to put that at about 80%. There is very little doubt in my mind that that is what this announcement is going to be. Audio, thank you, nerds, for joining me. Even though I think mostly it's bots that listen to this, if I'm wrong, find me on the socials and tell me I'm wrong. Either way, I appreciate your ear holes, and we're going to do this again next time. Before we go this time, though, always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.